Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello with another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Van Weven. Alongside me, as always, is Mr. Spencer Lumpy Williams.
Thanks for giving me the weird character.
I mean, hey, it was either that or the grandpa's name, and I don't know if you even want to be associated with that. We got an interesting show in store for you as we're preparing still for our Star Wars extravaganza time when the actual film drops and we get a chance to see it and talk about it, which is The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
So in preparation, we figured for the season, we would talk a little bit about the dropped film Christmas Star Wars Christmas. I can't even wrap my mind around
the
it.
The holiday special.
You know what? Whatever it's called, we're going to talk about it. So stick around as we dive into that. But before we do, Spencer, take it away.
On the distant and snowy planet of Hoth, the Filmlosophers podcast is coldly brought to you by Mingle Media TV.
And Spencer is extra cold today.
So cold today. Each Wednesday morning, check to see if your Bantha roast is ready for cooking. Then head on over and download the latest episodes on your favorite streaming platform, such as Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Libsyn, Player FM, Audio Boom, and...
I thought you had one more.
Whatever.
What's the other one?
Pocket Cast.
And Pandora!
There you go.
Almost lost the mic. There you go. Go ahead.
Looking for a better way to spend your life day? Neither do we. Connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter at twitter.com/filmlosophy101 so we can try to find out what this holiday even means, which is going to be a real point of my contention.
We haven't gotten to the review yet.
Finally, shoo away any unwanted house guests with Homicide and head on over to our website for some good fun. Listen to our entire list of episodes over at filmlosophers.com.
That's right. They just drop somebody over the edge of their banister, like how many feet off the ground, and then even mention it. Like,
they're dead.
We're going to celebrate right after we do that. He's gone. Don't worry about him.
So we need to come back to this because the excuse to get out of that made no sense.
Head on over to our website at filmlosophers.com. We got over 190 episodes. It's been great fun. It is awesome. We are nearing the end of the year as well as the end of another 100 episodes. So we're excited. We got some great things in store. Also, we want to give a big thanks out to those people who came out for the Oblivion trivia, Star Wars trivia night. Kudos to the winners out there. And we hope, you know what, everybody had a great time. So yeah. Right, Spence?
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. But we are coming to the point that we are all dreading, and that is the conversation around the Star Wars Holiday Special. So here's the deal. Here's the thing. You're not going to hear this very often. In fact, you'll probably never hear this again. But I'm just going to say this the one time, and it's being recorded for posterity. So, Spencer, I'm sorry that we had to see this. It was essentially a coin flip between this and whatever else we were going to figure out to do. I don't know. But
should have chosen.
We should have chose the other stupid thing, but we came around and we decided we were going to watch this film. It was the season for it. Christmas, the new film was about to drop in a week. Hey, you can't go wrong. Apparently, we did. So, Spencer, go ahead and give us that official synopsis. Goodness.
Okay, the official synopsis: Chewbacca and Han Solo try to get to the Wookiee homeworld of
Kashyyyk.
Ooh, got it. Okay. To celebrate Life Day, but are impeded by an Imperial blockade? Is what I'm going to add into that. Chewie's family passes time with various forms of entertainment.
Oh my gosh.
one would call it a nonstop barrage of alleged quote-unquote entertainment.
That's some questionable entertainment. Directed by Steve Binder and Dave Acomba, and written by Pat Proft, Leonard Ripps, Bruce Vilanch, Rod Warren, and Mitzi Welsh. There's a reason...
Wait. Written by all those people?
Well, everybody had a hand in it.
Oh, but, for different segments. Yes.
Yeah, but okay. I'm naming everybody because I'm going to call everybody out on the little things here and there. The film stars the original cast from the actual titular film, Star Wars: Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Anthony Daniels, Peter Mayhew, and James Earl Jones, as well as Beatrice Arthur, Art Carney, Diane Carroll, Jefferson Starship, the rock band, and Harvey Korman. Jefferson Starship is just one entity. They just move around and, you know, into like a gelatinous blob or something. Either way, this film has been so notorious all over the entire like history of its existence. George Lucas himself has famously tried and failed, obviously, to buy up all the master copies to make sure it was never broadcasted again. George Lucas remarked at an Australian convention, quote, "If I had the time and a sledgehammer, I would track down every bootlegged copy of that program and smash it."
I would also like to just interject that we watched it for free on YouTube. It's so bad. No one even bothered to file a copyright claim.
Nobody wants to claim it. CBS is like, we didn't do it.
And it's been up there for years, people.
It has. Mark Hamill's face, actually. So one of the biggest things that this thing gets critiqued on is how Mark Hamill's face looked, how it looks like he's essentially a porcelain doll.
Yeah.
He's got all this makeup. But for those who don't know, Mark Hamill's face was heavily made up as he was recovering from reconstructive surgery after a near-fatal car accident. So there's that. No excuse. While outlining the original Star Wars and planning its potential sequels, Lucas imagined a, quote, film just about Wookiees, nothing else, end quote.
Okay, like, there's no way drugs weren't involved in that.
There had to have been, you know. It's the 70s.
So weird. Plus, there's no subtitles. There's no subtitle. There's no Han Solo character to translate for the audience. You have to guess what these things are.
Everybody
talking
needed
about.
Their own C-3PO in this one. After the original film's success, its cast made a few appearances on TV variety shows. Someone was noted at saying that everybody agreed that a television special was a good idea. Lucas, who was busy actually moving his production company to a new location and was heavily not involved in the special. Though Lucas is uncredited, however, it was his idea to build the narrative around Chewbacca's family.
Okay, but that's like such a little idea that it's not bad and inherently bad by itself.
No, but I mean, you've already pointed out a million of those plot holes, and one of them being nobody understands the dang walking carpets. So, like, what are you going to do when you have a film? I think someone was noted at critiquing George saying that it needed to change because it couldn't just be the Wookiees. Because if that was the case, it was going to be a special, an hour-long special about Lassie, which is essentially the same thing. Like, what happened, Lassie? What do you mean? Little Timmy fell into the well, but you didn't even have the little Timmy person. You didn't have any of that. It was just like... like, that's literally dialogue from the film right there.
That was, like, it was almost like the film was playing again, I couldn't turn it off.
We couldn't turn it off earlier. It's like one of those really bad train wrecks you just don't really want to. Here's the thing. I have to admit, yeah, this was my choice. I will do what George Lucas will not. I will claim my fame and my fault behind it. Mm-hmm. But we've seen it, so we might as well talk about it. And mind you, this is not like, don't think this is like, oh, they're going to be like whatever. This film did not need to be made at all. And I don't know what the reasoning behind was, but there's nothing about this that screams Christmas at all to me. I don't know why they call it a holiday special. You could show this at like Valentine's Day. You could show this at, you know, 4th of July.
It's the holiday special because it celebrates Life Day.
But I celebrate Life Day every day because I get up. Like, this is like one of those situations where it's like, oh, you celebrate Life Day. Not Life Day, but Life Day with air quotes. Like, one of those people who does that too when they're like super holistic and they're like so much into themselves. They're like, you can feel the chakras changing in the air. come and celebrate Life Day with me. Like, this film did not need to be made.
No.
None of these actors needed to be put into... And there's so much questionable things in this movie. I'm worried, like, about, like, the implications of what was going on during that time. Like, like you said, there either had to have been, like, drugs, abuse, or some type of, like, manipulation.
And usually I'm not one to hop on the, like, oh, someone's using drugs train. But, like, this movie is so out there, and it's just questionable content for TV and children, and baffling decisions to focus on new characters that we don't care about.
Nope.
And watching the not Nazis of space.
The not
like go
the
around
space Nazis of the galaxy.
Some child's bedroom. It's like
the galactic Gestapo over here. Something. The sad thing is that this thing has been tossed around, and it has been making its way through every form of medium that it can, whether if it's like through VHS copies, DVD copies, YouTube. I'm not surprised it hasn't made its way to like some streaming platform.
Oh, no, I'm sure there'd be a lawsuit.
Like, I'm 100% certain George was like, all right, I will sell you Star Wars, Disney. But you have to take the blame for the holiday special.
I bet you that's what happened, because that's exactly why Life Day popped up in The Mandalorian. Because I was like, that's a bold choice when I saw that episode of The Mandalorian.
No. So obviously, spoilers will ensue. I really don't care.
You don't
if you haven't
care
seen,
either. Nobody cares.
And we don't care, honestly.
You can watch it on YouTube.
You could be upset all you want. I personally, you can blame it on Spencer. But, you know, no.
No, you cannot. I did not make this 90-minute monstrosity.
Oh, my gosh. It was. So, here's the thing. We sat down. I'm like, all right, we're going to watch this. It's fine. Spencer, it's fine. We're over here, and I'm like, all right, Spencer, did you find it? He's like, yeah, I found it. And he goes, there's two versions. There's the ones with commercials and the one without. I'm like, oh, let's check out the one with commercials. How long is it? 2 hours long. I'm like, what? 2 hours long? And I thought he was joking. I thought this was a prank. I'm like, no, this thing's only supposed to be like 45 minutes long. What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. He's like, no. Shaking his head at me. I'm like, okay, well, how long is the other one? The one without commercials? An hour and 38 minutes. I'm like, that's not better off. But
honestly, we should have probably watched.
We probably should have watched the commercials one. That at least would have given us a break in between all the craziness.
Plus, it was interesting. Also, when we popped into the commercials one, commercial breaks were much shorter in the past, and I don't know why.
Yeah, there was like 2 minutes of commercials. I'm like, I'm used to like four commercials and then like a pharmaceutical ad.
Yeah.
Like, are you suffering from emotional bowel dysmovements or something? Whatever. I don't even know if that's a
thing. Do not take Electron if you're allergic to Electron.
Electron.
I'm like, what?
If you have a runny nose, take Belvita. Do not take Belvita if you suffer from strokes, heart attack, or side effects. Maybe. Then,
yeah, just that gibberish that's so fast. You're like, what is it?
I think I just bought a car. I was like telling someone, I think I just listened to an ad on TV and bought a car. I don't know. But I think that would have been probably a better choice, Spence.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I wouldn't feel like I wasted almost two. I mean, at least that would have been like 2 hours with breaks in between of like wasting our time. Mm-hmm. But it still felt like we wasted 2 hours of our time and no breaks. Like, I saw the one commercial from after we watched the special, we popped into the other one to check it out. And we saw some of the commercials and I'm like, oh, that's nice. And my brain is like slowly, like it's like when a train is moving through the station and then it finally stops and it's like, I could feel my brain releasing pressure, and I'm like, that would have been nice during this.
Yeah, you know, I saw you building up pressure over there because
I asked
you something and you just gave zero response, which you only do when you're very annoyed. I was like, oh boy.
This movie. So, kind of kicking this thing off, their first biggest mistake, obviously, other than actually making it, is making it, because this movie is a complete, like, it's completely left into your interpretation as to what the heck the mom is yelling at the son about and what the heck the grandpa is yelling at the son about. Everybody seems to be yelling at the son, but the son seems to be a little jerk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I hate to say this because I don't condone, you know, any kind of violence in unnecessary violence, but I was really hoping that child would have fallen off the balcony as he was climbing over it, you know, at the very first, like, 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, like, Lumpy gets up on the banister and just starts, like, doing tightrope walking.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, like, Cirque du Soleil, okay, cool, bring it on.
Well, let's wait until we get to the actual Cirque du Soleil part. But, like, he's getting up on this banister. It's several hundred feet in the air.
Yeah.
Like, if he falls, he dies.
He did.
Yeah.
Like, let's start with the first gripe. The decision to use a species in the Star Wars. First off, there's a ton of species that are out there that actually have a language. That is not just a bunch of grunts and groans, okay, and chirps.
But okay, that's not even the problem, though, because you could have fixed that with a little bit of subtitles and throwing in slightly more human people.
But
in
then
there.
If you would have done that, okay, here's
why can't believe you I'm not doing do
this.
That?
I can't believe I'm doing this. Okay, I'm gonna I can't even say it. I'm gonna momentarily play devil's advocate for this movie. But I think the reasoning behind it was they couldn't do that because of the fact that if they were going to do that for this movie, they would have to do it for every movie after the fact. And it would have made heck for the creators of the Star Wars universe and the rest of the films be like, oh, well, we saw, you know, subtitles with, you know, Chewie's family and blah, 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 and you're not my dad. Like, we would have heard that, like, or they would have heard, we weren't even alive back then. Yeah. They would have heard that, like, all throughout the entirety of, like, episode 5 and 6. And maybe they just weren't, like, maybe they were just done, dude.
They could have done exactly what they did the first time. Star Wars Holiday Special? What's that? That's not canon. We don't recognize this.
Well, it's goddamn canon now. I'm talking about Life Day and Mandalorian and, I feel old when I watch these kinds of movies because I feel like I get an ulcer, like, because it just hurts, like, trying to process why anybody would think this movie was, like, something people asked for, because I'm pretty sure everybody who was sitting at home in the 1970s, what is this, 78? I think,
yeah,
it,
yeah, it should have been Christmas.
Yeah, 1978, anybody was doing that. Immediately did this. This is what they did, Spence. Look at me. Look at me here.
Yeah, I'm looking at you.
I'm the captain, though. No, look at me next.
Okay.
They would have turned it on. Did you? Click. And turned it off. That's what every household did. I'm pretty sure, like, I don't know if they were doing Nielsen ratings back then, but, like, there was a sudden drop in TV watching that night. Everybody was like, gosh darn it, where's my Hulk? I could be watching Wonder Woman right now.
The only reason we know that is because it told us at the beginning, Incredible Hulk and Wonder Woman will not be on tonight.
And I was immediately upset. I'm like, you mean I could have been watching Bruce Banner do his thing? Like, seriously. But I'm more than certain, like, seriously, those TV ratings went and, like, just nosedive straight down.
I think you're right, because I remember reading about this, that it only aired the one time, and then it never aired again.
No, you want to hear the jerkiest part about all this? You want to hear the most jerkiest thing ever? Canada got this bad boy an hour before we did. No phone call, no letter. No smoke signal. They could have sent an Eskimo on a polar bear or something. Could have written it in a bottle of, like, maple syrup and sent it down the Potomac. I don't know. But they could have said something to be like, hey, guys, that holiday special is about poo-poo, you know? Don't you know it? Like I bet
there was some, like, political thing going on back then. It was like, we're not going to tell them. This is us getting back at them.
Between us and Canada? I don't know.
It's the polite way to have a dispute.
They don't pay us back in that maple syrup taxes, eh? So we're going to get them where it hurts.
We're not going to warm up the Christmas special, boys.
Is that what it's been all these years? Is that why? All right, that makes a lot more sense now. No, but like it's the fact that they created a film around a group of people that nobody knows, and you're not even familiar with the language, and you're not given subtitles.
And you're not sure if they still exist.
No, it's never mentioned at all. Other than in like comics, like
there's a comic that actually mentions.
There's a comic that mentions it a while back where it was never explained before Solo came out. It was never explained, but Chewbacca owed Han a life debt. Mm-hmm. And so Chewbacca essentially chose to stay with Han to fulfill the life debt. But one thing that they don't speak about is, like, Wookiees live for, like, thousands of years. Like, they are just about as old as whatever Yoda's species is.
Wow.
So there's panels where it actually shows, like, actual words. Not audible words, but, like, his language being translated, where he says, like, he does have a family back home. However, he is choosing to fulfill this life debt that he owes to Han. Blah, blah, blah. Now, mind you, this probably would have been better served in like a comic or maybe in the avenue of like, oh, I don't know, anything else, like even a cartoon. But
I don't know. There was a cartoon section in this and that was pretty dodgy.
Yeah. You know what? Okay, we're going to get to the cartoon section, but like
so much to get to.
There is so much. Like the guy, so I don't know if you know this, the guy who plays the trader, the guy who owns the shop.
Yeah.
What's his name? Saudan, something like that. Saudan. He actually, so oddly enough, he was actually the first idea of pitching who George Lucas wanted Lando Calrissian to look like.
Oh.
He wanted it to be like that age, like a traitor essentially on the planet of like Kashyyyk. He wanted him to be like kind of lower scale, I guess. Obviously, things changed and they picked somebody else and they went with, you know, yeah, and went the right way.
Yeah.
But the fact remains is that I would have loathed Empire Strikes Back if this was the guy who was considered Lando Calrissian. Like, by far, this would have been horrendously just a mess. So, but yeah, I didn't know that up until recently, so I'm really glad that they didn't go in that direction.
Yeah, I was
because Billy Dee Williams is like gold in that movie.
You're not going to have Billy Dee in Star Wars.
But another reason why I don't like this guy, Art Carney is the actor.
Yeah.
He's a smut peddler. Like, he was, I don't know what
let's get into this one.
Well, because this happens like within the first 30 minutes of the movie, and I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, any inkling of like futuristic projections, like, people always talk about how The Simpsons, they're always like predicting the future. They're always just nobody that far back was predicting virtual smut like the Star Wars holiday special.
Yeah.
Because if you were wondering if anybody in cinematic history, and by cinematic, I use that term very loosely, in cinematic history who had projected like, oh, one day people are going to be gross and like put goggles on their face and like watch people do dance around and show their bodies and stuff like that. Watch. That's going to happen. Like, nobody had really projected that as far out as the 1978 Star Wars Christmas or holiday special.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this peddler brought to this home. It's a home with a child in it, for God's sakes. With a child.
And he's just watching it in the living room.
And I don't know if they meant to make the grandpa look this, but he looked like the smuggiest dirtbag that and I use that term very seriously because he looked suspicious from the get-go. Like, his upper lip reached all the way beyond his nose.
Yeah.
Or his lower lip reached.
It looked like his face was made to be able to eat itself.
Yeah. Like, he could pull his lower lip up around his head and then, like, kiss his nose or something. I don't know. But there's a scene where he's bringing, what did he say he's bringing? A proton pack or a...
Yeah, it was for
Or an electron pack.
The other problem with this movie, before we get real deep into this, is that people start talking about things and you have no idea what anyone's talking about.
Oh, because I'm pretty sure they're making up as they go along.
Yeah, but like that's... You have a script, like write it down and then like connect it to something so we know what's happening.
I didn't even know where to begin with any of that.
All right.
Like, so is it Krellman? No, Krellman's the other guy. No, so this guy, the traitor dude.
Yeah, Soundan.
Soundan, whatever his name is. He comes to the house. He comes to see, what's her name, Mala?
Yeah.
Mala and Lumpy. Oh my God. By the way, Mala.
Yeah, it's short for something.
It has to be because I have no idea what the heck it means.
I saw the name somewhere.
I'm worried. Like, what did we see? So Mala and Mala and Lumpy, who's the mother and son.
Yep.
And then Itchy is the grandfather.
Yes.
Who is crotchety as all get out. And this traitor guy, the peddler, shows up at their house, has gifts for everybody, demands physical contact in lieu of payment for a gift to Chewbacca's wife, which I'm really surprised Chewbacca didn't come in there and rip his arms off.
Yeah, because
she's like, oh, is that what an old friend gets for gifts? I'm like, dude. That's what a dirty uncle says. Cut it out.
Yeah. That's, like, I feel like the Me Too movement would have been involved in this because this is not good.
100%. It's not good. Which is, it's probably good that a guy actually played Mala than an actual woman. But so, and then he gives something to the kid to go play with or go do something with upstairs. Like, yeah. he gets the kid out of there. And then he goes over to Grandpa Itchy, because he's itching to do something. And he's like, oh, Grandpa. Oh, Itchy, I got you the good stuff. I'm like, dude, what is he giving him? Like some spice or something? He gets him into a chair, tells him like, oh, this is, what do they say? It's just wow. I'm like, what is he giving him? And then he puts in this chip into this grandpa's chair and he tells him like, have fun, whatever. He puts the visor down. I'm like, oh, even before he closes the visor, I'm like, I know what this is. I know what I am from the 21st century.
Nothing good is going to happen.
I know where this leads. I know exactly. I've seen people pass around goggles all the time, be like, here, you should check this out. And yeah, it never ends well.
Okay, so here's my ultimate problem with this particular scene.
Oh, just one? Because
I have a big one. And it's basically you're sitting there for 4 or 5 minutes just watching this old man watch softcore porn that was broadcast on television.
Yes.
Yeah. That's,
yeah. It's like
I feel gross because I had to sit through that.
It was beyond gross. Like, and it would be one thing if like it was something that wasn't really like, you know, if there was an issue with like interpretation, like someone came out and was like, oh, no, you don't understand. Itchy is like a, he's.
No, I understand.
No, but like if there was like some type of like somebody who came out and said like, no, you know what? We apologize. We didn't mean it like that. It's actually blah, blah, blah. We meant it to be like this. No.
Yeah, no.
Nobody did that because according to the producer, Mitzi Welsh, who is one of the writers, that's one of the people I wanted to talk about, the sequence with the actress in that scene, who's her name is Diahan Carroll, Diahan, I guess, Diahan, was intended to be, quote, softcore porn that would pass the censors, end quote. What is going on here? Like, that's not okay. Like, how do you think that's okay for a holiday special? What were people doing back then? Like, what were people on that made them think this was okay?
We know the answer, and it's most likely to be.
Oh, my gosh. Like, It's super awkward. And like the whole song is like talking about how to make a minute last forever. And I'm feeling like this feels like it's forever.
That's the not a problem for the special of making things last forever.
This should have won an infamy. This should have been studied by scientists on how to make an hour and a half feel like 4 hours long. Because honestly, I think Gilligan and his crew got shipwrecked in less time than this movie.
Also, like, I have never started, like, just checking the time on how far into a movie we've been.
I not only checked my watch, I checked my phone, I checked everything. I looked around the room for a clock because I wasn't sure if I was stuck in the Twilight Zone or something. This movie just seemed to, like...
It takes forever somehow.
I don't really feel bad because I know it was fun watching you squirm, but still, it was still a lot to deal with. Like, and then from that point on, you get like, because it says the Chewbacca's family gets entertained by different forms of entertainment, blah, blah, blah. There's some weirdos like they've been watching. Like, I feel bad. Like, this third rate genie pops out and starts like orchestrating this Cirque du Soleil kind of situation on somebody's table.
Like a whole circus performance begins.
Yeah.
And like Lumpy is just super into it. But I'm also like, this is kind of boring.
Yeah. I'm like, and from a logical perspective, like just from a logistics perspective, I didn't understand why like this family had like this incredible technology in their house and yet they had no safety precautions near their banister. And
no, the banister is a safety precaution.
That's not a safety precaution. That's obviously that stormtrooper just literally waltzed over to it and fell over. Either that child was so heavy that he wore down that board, or like that stormtrooper weighed a ton to just walk into it. And
it's all about directional force.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Nobody pushed him. He just walked back into it. They just took away his gun. And he's like, all right, I'm out. And then fell down.
Well, he had to get a head start now that the Empire was after him.
And then, like, but, like, you have all this great technology. Mm-hmm. The kitchen looks immaculate for it being in a tree.
Yeah.
And then you have the wife cooking this roast in what looks to be, oof, like, a bucket.
Let's talk about this cooking session.
Go ahead, because I'm...
Yes, The bucket she's cooking in makes no sense because she...
None whatsoever.
Like the rest of her kitchen is very modern.
Yes.
But her segment is all about her cooking some bantha roast, I believe.
It's something like that.
Yeah. And so she turns on a cooking show with this horribly, like, colored person. Like this person.
Wow, Spencer. Horribly colored person. Jeez, talk about not seeing race.
Okay, like this isn't a racist horrible issue. Like this person was literally...
She's a different race than you are?
No, she had her skin. If I walked up to her, it would have faded off because it's all makeup. It was the heaviest makeup I've ever seen. It was so bad. But anyway, her and her fake wig are all about, oh, we're cooking this bantha roast. And so then she just gets into this manic cycle of screaming, stir, whip, whip, stir, whip, whip, stir, and just screaming. And I don't even know why. I can't make this. It's not real. It's like it's detailed enough to where if I had these fake ingredients, I could make it. But I can't because they don't exist.
And the great part about it is that she's doing all this manic stuff, and Mala, who's supposed to be following, is just doing the same thing. Over, she's like, and like just still doing the same sequence over and over. And I'm like, the character is like going chaotic, bringing in 2-3 extra arms, and like Mala's just like, and just continuing with like the same slow cycle. Like it made no sense in the juxtaposition of it all.
Yeah,
and so,
when a recipe requires a minimum of 4 arms to perform it correctly, like you probably should adapt that.
You probably should have not picked that one. But it's oh man, this was like one of those types of specials. So this in itself is something of a pariah because this is the situation you find yourself in. This is a special that not many people have seen, And yet most
or
people
exist.
Or no exist, yet have heard of it. Like the whispers amongst like Star Wars fans. Like
everyone's in a back alley. It's like, hey, have you heard about the Star Wars Christmas special?
I got me a 460 by so whatever version of the movie. You want to trade? I got the one with commercials. Oh, right. Like it feels like this is the type of film that you would take that kind of conversation to.
No, 100%. It sounds exactly like what this is how that got on YouTube.
And I'm just trying to figure out, like, for the first time in a long time, I actually agree with George Lucas. Like, I would, if George Lucas were to go onto Kickstarter or like Indiegogo and say, hey guys, I'm going to take it to the streets, fund this endeavor, and I'm going to take, I don't know, 60 grand and traverse the world to find where all these versions of this film is housed. I'm going to break into YouTube and destroy the server that has it on there. I'm going to, you know, go to...
I would
to,
be interested in seeing that.
I would love to see it. Like, if there was, like, some kind of documentary made on that of, like, George Lucas traversing the planet trying to find bootleg copies. Like, he ends up in, like, Pakistan and Nova Scotia and Mexico City and, you know, Antarctica. And all, he's all over the place, like, just breaking into people's houses and destroying these bootleg copies. I would give my life savings to see that. Like, and that's not saying much because there's not much there. But the idea of this film is sound. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Wanting to traverse beyond the normal workings of where this story has been, which it started out being about the Skywalkers. And George Lucas realized early that we need to explore other areas as well. And you have to appreciate that.
Oh.
You have to see that for what it is and be like, okay, I can appreciate that. However, I think there needs to be a little bit more thought put into that whole endeavor. Because now we're hoping with this next film coming out with The Rise of Skywalker and the end of the 9-story arc, that we finally put away with the Skywalker storyline and traverse into something new, which is what I'm absolutely loving with The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Like, not once have I heard any mention of Skywalker or anything like that. So it's like, okay, cool. I'm actually enjoying this storyline. Maybe not the episode before last, but I'm exactly enjoying this storyline. Ming-Na Wen, I'm sorry. But the thing is that this should have been that first step towards that. And I think this may have been the inciting incident that really scared people into traversing far away from what formula worked, which at the time was Skywalker. Mm-hmm. We're going to make Skywalker be the only thing about it. Everybody's going to focus on Skywalker. Luke Skywalker, Anakin Skywalker, Skywalker. Like, I feel like that's exactly how they talked in the boardroom. Like, oh, Skywalker, Skywalker. And it essentially turned into this, like, fear of seeing this film traverse anywhere else because of the misstep, extreme misstep, with this holiday special. I don't know. What do you think?
No, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Because, like, I can see them understanding that because, like, there were other things that popped up in the 80s, I believe, where, like, there was that droids cartoon. And
there was the droids cartoon, and then you had later on the Ewok cartoon. And
oh,
then
gosh. And then there's that Ewok movie, like the Caravan of Courage or something.
The fact that you know that scares me, but okay.
I'm vaguely aware that it exists, but I don't have time for that.
Vaguely aware, yeah, sure.
I've never seen it.
Could have fooled me.
But yeah, no. Like,
why didn't you recommend that? We could have seen that one.
I'm going to watch something called The Caravan of Courage. Kidding me? Oh my gosh. Especially after watching this movie. I'm not seeing any of these side stories unless it's like, you know, Rogue One level. But I feel like they understood that they should be doing something outside of the Skywalker name.
Yeah.
But I feel like during those early years, they were really, really, really bad at it. Because, well, see any of the things we just mentioned. Like, who really talks about the droids cartoons or the Ewoks movies?
Well, I mean, we were talking about those back alley conversations at, like, Star Wars conventions and celebrations and whatnot. Mm. Here's the thing. the sad fact about it is that even though it is horrible and like excruciating to watch, I think the sad fact about it is that it's necessary for our culture. And I know it sounds weird. I know it sounds weird, but it's necessary because if it wasn't for George Lucas creating this huge flop, like, do you think he would still be talked about as often in the small circles around this time when it comes to like Christmas specials or even just talking about Christmas time? Like when you around our community, in our community, yours and mine, Spence, you know that every time this year comes around, we're like, oh, what should we watch for like Christmas? Blah, blah, blah. And it's either Gremlins, Die Hard, or the Star Wars holiday special. And it's usually those three.
I don't know why that even pops up now that I've seen the whole thing.
Yeah, and that's the sad truth is that I don't think any of us have ever actually seen it in its full entirety.
Nope.
It's like one of those things where it's like, you know, how many of you have ever like gone and touched something or did something or gone somewhere? Like many people talk about it, but not many people actually do it, or not many people actually can talk about it. And it's like, this is one of those things where it's like the holy grail of like, everybody's talked about seeing it or seeing parts of it, but nobody's actually fully seen it through.
Yeah, because I hadn't before this. I'd seen
obviously 45 minutes.
I'd seen the cooking scene. I'd seen Carrie Fisher singing at the end of it. And like, I've seen, oh yes, the building of the transmitter in Lumpy's room, which we did not even talk about yet.
Like this movie just makes me cringe when it comes to like thinking about what could have been if they had given like George Lucas just like full and every bit of clear like control to just keep doing what he was doing. Like, could you imagine having a Christmas special like this every year?
It would have actually have been good.
No, I don't think it would have. Like, I think it would have just been god awful.
All he did was the idea. Like, he was able to make one.
Do you not get like these people? So these people, these people far, far away in a galaxy of Los Angeles, far, far away from wherever George Lucas was going, were told by a man, "I want this done. This is how I want to see it. Just get it done." You think if he didn't have that much power, they could have been like, guys, this is garbage. Like, somebody should tell somebody. I'm going to go call the executives. I'm going to go tell. Like, you don't think that conversation didn't happen? And they're like, oh, wait, that's going to get rerouted right back to George. And he's going to say, keep doing it. And we want to keep our jobs. Like, George Lucas had complete control at the time. Bottom line, George was God at the time when it came to this franchise. And if George says, I want a movie about Chewbacca's latest bowel movement and I want you to give it a noise and a name, I'm pretty sure they would have made that too.
I would not have gone to see that.
I mean, it's like Chewbacca's first Chewie. Like, I don't know whatever it was called or something. Like, I don't know. But it would have been so ridiculous and insane, but they probably would have still had to make it because George said so.
Right.
So, I mean, it's one thing to say like, oh, you know, okay, what?
Well, then let me restate this. I think it would have been better if he actually paid attention and cared.
No, because he paid attention and cared and gave us episode 1, 2, and 3. So there's a point in the story.
Okay, but this is during like episode 4, 5, 6.
Which he didn't direct 5 and 6. He directed the first one. He helped create the storyline, but episode 2, if I'm not mistaken, was directed by Ivan Kershner. I mean, episode 5, which was Empire Strikes Back, was directed by Ivan Kershner. And episode 6 was directed by Richard Marquand. Two totally different people than George Lucas.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure he had creative control, but the direction was in someone else's hands. Which is why Empire Strikes Back is probably one of the better of the three. Out of the 6. Out of the 8. It's probably one of the better one of the better films out of the entire franchise. But yeah, like I think the part 1, 2, and 3, all George Lucas. Like, those were directed by him specifically. That should say something. It was his idea to bring Jar Jar Binks into this universe. So that should also tell you something. I mean, can you imagine him redoing this this holiday special and making Jar Jar Binks and the Gungans the point of reference
if
for the next?
If I even saw one Gungan, I would have left you alone. I would not have bothered.
I was like, ah, that Gungan king or ruler was just like, what are you thinking here? Just, I'm sorry, we digress. But bottom line is, like, this particular film, although it's a holiday special, I don't even know if it's one of those types of movies that you can even just watch to laugh at. Like, maybe
no,
if you were...
anything, it's like clips. You watch a few clips of it, and you're good. You should see no more than 10 minutes. That's a lot.
It's like jumping into, like, freezing water. You're only allowed 10 minutes, then your heart will stop. Like, you only watch 10 minutes of clips from this movie, and then you move on with your life.
Yeah, see the cooking section, see Leia sing, you're done.
So, wrapping this whole conversation up, because...
we're wrapping it up now? There's so much of the time.
I mean...
we didn't even mention, like, the whole, like, orb transportation system.
The orb transportation system?
The whole Life Day orb thing?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Chewbacca finally gets to his family. Han leaves. We'll come back to that in a second. So it's just him and his family. They grab these orbs, hold them up to the sky, and then the entire Wookiee clan enters the Life Day dimension.
It's like everybody took the same drug and like just...
like, I can't even really fully explain it because that's the best I've got. I don't even know what really truly happened.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And then at that same time, Leia, Han, Luke,
C-3PO
and R2-D2 all appear wherever this like dream state happens.
Right.
And it's like, wait a second. All they did was like lift up a snow globe. Like, how does this? And then it makes you even question, like, well, if that was the case, then why did Chewie have to be there for them to lift the snow globes together? Couldn't you just take in his snow globe with him and wherever he was at, safe and sound from the Empire? Lifted his snow globe together at the same time and everybody be transported together?
Yeah.
It's, like, because I know Leia, Luke, all the rest of them were not on the planet at that time.
Yeah. And then Han just got dragged along for the ride somehow.
Oh, yeah. This was...
even lift those up.
If you want to really see, like, Han Solo slash Harrison Ford getting, like, really, you know, pushed over and, like, essentially strong-armed into doing whatever, like, oh, okay, Chewie, we'll do it for you. Like, this was the movie to watch. Like, Han Solo was completely a pushover in this movie, and it's sad because that's not the character he portrays in the rest of the film.
No.
And this movie is just so off. Like, this feels like a knockoff version of The Muppet Show without the Muppets. Like, I feel like all these little cutscenes and these little gags and these little things that they do are like little gags that they would do on The Muppet Show, except at least The Muppet Show was funny. Like, these weren't even entertaining. They were awkward. They were weird.
Oh, gosh. Speaking of awkward, I want to rewind back to before they lifted the Life Day orbs when Lumpy needed to make his transmitter.
He had
to watch an instructional video on how to do it. It's the least instructional video I've ever seen.
And it's not even funny.
No.
Like, this guy is... it's like when your uncle, when that really awkward uncle comes to the house and tries to make the little kids laugh, and the little kids are just done with him, and he keeps doing the same gag over and over. And it's like, dude, just stop. They don't care. It's like, that was the whole situation with here. I don't even think Lumpy cared at one point of what he was saying.
Well, he didn't give any real directions. He spent the whole video being a broken robot.
Yeah.
Who was like, oh, this Porsche is very important, so listen carefully. And then just fell over. Like,
was that your interpretation?
Yes, it was, basically.
At least turned into Sean Connery there.
Yeah, like, well, that's what kind of happened. At least with, like, Mala's cooking thing, like, I could be like, oh, she's learning something.
Nope.
She's like, put this in there.
That's nope. something.
She ate most of it before, like, not Mala, the cook, was, like, eating everything before she got to put it into the bowl or
That's
whatever.
That's very true, but whatever. Just don't do that bit, and you're fine. This robot was so non-helpful that there would have been a lawsuit against this company.
Oh, there should have been. There completely should have been. And it's and I think that's why like they go through that extensive thing of like at the beginning of that little gag where they're like, oh, blah, 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 blah. You're like, oh, you know, we are not at fault or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like it goes through this nonstop like whole I don't know, it feels overly done and whatnot, like the way they're talking about the disclaimers and whatnot.
Yeah. Also, you know what holiday specials need more of? Legal disclaimers in the middle of
oh, completely.
What the characters are about to watch.
100%. And then after that, you get that horrible mandatory viewed episode from Mos Eisley from Tatooine with poor Bea Arthur. And it's like
a golden girl couldn't save this thing.
Yeah.
So terrible.
You have Bea Arthur who's doing her best.
She is.
And she really is. And you have Harvey Korman. Who, if you're familiar with Harvey Korman, he played the governor from Blazing Saddles.
Wow.
He was the guy who was trying to get the sheriff killed for the entire thing. But Harvey Korman played this ridiculously weirdo dude who had a hole in his head, legitimately had a hole in his head.
Did not make any sense.
And it was so weird and random and at the end of it all, at the end of that gag, you're like, why did the Empire make everybody watch this? Like, what kind of torture is
that
this?
That was the first thing I was like, why was this mandatory?
It's like, they're like, oh, so that everybody can watch this from Tatooine so that you can feel better about your life. And I'm like, you're making us watch this, so apparently we're the worst ones off. Like, these people are living it. They think it's normal. We're over here having to watch this.
Also, like, it's mind-boggling. That the Empire is like, we're not going to pre-vet this. We're just going to let it be live and see what happens.
Yeah, it's not even like you come to find out, like, it's not even a show. It's like a live stream from somebody's, you know, cantina. And you're like, what the heck? And then there's a warning that goes out and everybody's got, it was just ridiculous. Like, Bea Arthur, poor woman, had to sing a song about, like, one last drink or one last dance. Like, I felt like she was singing that after they said cut. She's like, one more drink, bring it on, come on, because none of that made any sense.
Nope.
And then the way this film just wraps up, like, well, hold on, the cartoon. This cartoon.
Didn't this introduce Boba Fett?
It did introduce Boba Fett to the whole foray of the franchise. I'm so glad this wasn't like a canon thing in terms of like the introduction of Boba Fett, because Boba Fett was a scaredy cat. Like, that's not the Boba Fett I knew from the shows, from the movies and from the shows and all that. Like, this guy, like, turned tail and ran as soon as he got found out.
Yeah, and that was absurdly fast. Also, I don't even fully understand how R2 was like, oh, let me just turn on this communicator. And he was instantly in a conversation with Darth Vader and Boba Fett.
It made no sense. And it's like, And then they start talking about him while he's in the room. And I'm like, the dude has a gun. Like, why are we saying this out loud?
And also, I think the thing about the cartoon is I don't understand how ultimately it fits into the universe of this special. Because it would appear to be that the Rebels release cartoons for children to watch.
Oh, yeah.
About the escapades of whatever is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the Empire doesn't know about this at all.
Yeah.
Because, like, the stupid kid was just watching it while they were, like, storming his room. And then he reacted to something. And someone was like, what are you watching?
Like, he was watching a bad movie or something. He shouldn't. Like, something triple X rated or whatever. He's like, oh. He's like, oh. And then he's like, oh, you're playing a game. Oh, getting overexcited over game. I'm like, yeah, no. Like,
this is why you don't give children top secrets. Stuff.
Yeah, like plain and simple.
Would you?
So, I don't know. Was there anything else? Because, like, I just feel like the acting in this movie was hokey. The effects in this movie were hokey. The content of this movie was hokey.
Very questionable.
And questionable. I I feel like I need to take a shower because of how bad this movie was.
I understand.
Like, this was one of those movies where I feel bad for myself for watching it.
I'm so, right there with you.
So, now wrapping this up.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and talk about whether or not the film passes or fails. That's going to be an easy one. And how many or how few monocles this film will have. So, Spencer, go ahead and start us off.
No, this film doesn't pass. What, like, I don't even know why we're asking this question this week. Like, it's not entertaining. It's boring. It's confusing. It's bewildering. It got made in the first place besides someone thinking that they could make a lot of money. The fact that it aired once and only once should just speak volumes to how bad it was.
Oh, it does. Trust me, it does.
You had at the end Carrie Fisher singing a song to the tune of Star Wars, the main theme.
Yep.
It was bonkers and wild, and I don't want to see it again. I will like watch part of that cooking segment again because it makes me laugh.
Oh my gosh.
But like, other than that, I'm done with this. I don't need this in my life, and it's just taking up space on the planet. So since we can't give out negative numbers, I guess I'll give it a zero. There's not really any redeeming qualities. Like, there's things like you might want to look at for like just a little bit if you've never seen it before. But I can't even really recommend that kind of.
I don't even know. So the film fails for me. And
really, I'm shocked.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to it other than like you watch this film and you even know as soon as you start watching, like this film is a failure. Like this is like this when the creator of the whole film seeks out and has a like personal vendetta against this film and seeks out to destroy it as often as he can. Like I would absolutely love like to get to a point to where I put this on a VHS copy, make it look worn, and bring it to like a convention and say, hey, Mr. Lucas, could you sign this bootleg copy of the 1978 Star Wars Holiday Special? I would love to get it on video of him stomping it horrendously into the ground. No.
This is the story of how you die if that happens. Because he would see this, he'd somehow pull out a gun and shoot you dead in the convention center. And he'd be like, I did it. I still did it. I killed him. Nobody do it again.
And obviously, like, if there's any more way I could get this into a lower, like, a lower tier of rating, I would. But this gets, like, 0.1 star for me. And the point one...
What's a point one?
Jefferson Starship. Like, they were a good band. Sadly, they got brought into this. But here's like, the final thought on it all. You look at this film, and you're like, something had to have been going wrong. Something had to have been, like, the driving force behind it. Thankfully, writer Bruce Vilanch came out and kind of gave us a little bit insight into what was going on. And he had stated that essentially Bruce Vilanch admitted that he was using cocaine heavily while helping to write this special.
It makes a lot of sense.
So that makes all the sense in the world. Let us know what you think about this holiday special. Have you seen it? If you have, what do you think? Drop us a line on our Facebook page at facebook.com/philosophers. And on our Twitter page at twitter.com/philosophy101. Also drop us a line on our Instagram page at philosophy101 as well. Don't even say it, Spencer. I'm working on it. We don't really know where to go from there because that movie just really... We're literally coming from where the couch is to the studio to record this. So, yeah. But... Of course, again, we want to give out a big thanks to everybody who participated in the Star Wars Trivia Night. Big shout out to the winners, and just we hope everybody had a great and wonderful time. We hope that as the time goes on, we're going to do one more review before the Christmas season finally comes to an end, and that'll be our grand Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker review. So let's hope. But that gives us a better taste in our mouth than this does.
Like, if it doesn't, you're all gonna
hear about it.
Oh, 100%. 110%. So, but yeah, that about wraps up another awesome episode of the Filmlossifers. And again, we hope if this is your last time hearing us before the holiday season comes to a close, we want to wish you and your family a great and merry holiday and a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year and everything else in between. So from all of us here at the Filmlossifers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
Class dismissed.